In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for watching. This is the Beacon of Nick with my special guest for the night, Benjamin Ebig. Ben is a samurai ninja warrior Purple Heart recipient, badass. Actually, he's just a really cool guy, and he's got a lot of credentials, and he's an entrepreneur, and he's a really fascinating human being, and I'm excited to talk to him. Ben, take it away.
Thank you, Nick, for that wonderful, colorful introduction. It is an honor to be here on the Beacon of Nick podcast. Most of you may know me from my own podcast, the Code of Life podcast. Many of you may have heard my interview from the wonderful Nick sitting across the wonderful computer Ethos right now. It is an honor to be here on your podcast, Nick.
Ben, it is an honor to have you, man. Whenever I talk to you, Ben, it's always a good conversation, and I always leave the conversation with something more than when I started.
Thank you. It is an honor to hear that, and if you don't mind, I might just clip that and put it in a testimonial.
Ben, put it in whatever you need to put it in, man, because it's true. Like, I think in like any conversation in life, I think it's cool because like most people don't think of this as like what a conversation actually is, but like it's almost like you sit across from somebody, and then basically you expose yourself, you kind of make yourself vulnerable, and then pieces of yourself like fall apart, and then that person's ideas kind of replace where those pieces fell off. Like you're almost like destroying yourself so that person can like can give you the pieces that you lost in a way. You know what I mean? You can kind of pick and choose what you want to give and take, but it's almost like you allow yourself to be vulnerable, and you break apart, and then at the end of the conversation, you learn more about yourself, and that kind of fills in the cracks in a way.
You lost me there in like halfway through that, but you got me again at the very end of that. I definitely get what you're saying. I know a lot of people who they don't allow themselves to be vulnerable. They as you say, they don't allow their like pieces to be shown. They don't allow their like so many people have something to offer the world. And they, because they don't allow themselves to like their inner voices, their stories to be heard, it robs them of their own gifts, and it also robs the world of sharing their gifts.
That is completely true. Like I think, like we all have varying degrees of intelligence, and we all have varying degrees of like of creativity and openness, and like how deep we think in a way. I think the level how deep you could think is not even connected to how smart you are in any sense. You know what I mean? Right. I know a lot of people that like are not that smart, but the way they think is very deep. And I know people that are extremely smart, and they don't, you know, they're very on the surface, which it varies so much. But like, I think no matter who you're talking to, no matter what their level of thinking is, you can definitely take something away from that person and that you didn't know before. Something you can look at something in a brand new light that you didn't have prior to that conversation.
Absolutely. I know, I won't name names or anything, but I've known plenty of close friends and plenty of associates throughout my life who they're very strong in the sense of book smart, whereas they're good at retaining information. They're good at knowing facts, but when it comes like facts will only get you so far. Like, I'm sitting at, for those of you who are audio listeners and are not watching this on YouTube, I'm looking at Nick right now, and he's got these really cool swords in the background. And when I think of life, it's basically like life is like Skyrim. Follow me on this analogy, if you could, please.
I'm here for it.
Please entertain me for a little bit. Life is like Skyrim. So, first of all, Nick, have you played Skyrim?
I've never beaten Skyrim, but I've played enough of it to know.
Okay, so
I played Oblivion all the way through, and I beat that.
Okay, so you know enough of it to where you'll get this analogy.
Absolutely.
So, if you've played any sort of role-playing game, you'll get this analogy. Life is like Skyrim. So, in life, you start off pretty bare-boned and not knowing how to do anything. But as you go through life, you're going to start to pick up tools. And you realize, like, oh, man, there's all these different things up there that I can master. I can become a master of swordsmanship. I can become a master of magic, or I can become a master of this thing over here, or a master of this thing over here. There's all these different options available to you. And the mistake that a lot of people make in life is that they try to master all the different things. They try to master, like, all right, I'm going to dip my toe into this thing a little bit. I'm going to dip my toe into this thing a little bit. And that's not quite the way to do it, is that you want to put all your effort and energy into just one pool. You want, all right, I'm going to put all my time and energy. Like, I love magic. So I'm going to put all my energy into being the best magician that there is possibly out there. And so then you become a master of throwing fireballs. So no one can throw a fireball better than, but he's smiling. He knows where I'm going with this.
I'm following you.
Nobody can throw a fireball better than you can. But if you try to master, like if you try to be a little bit good at everything, then it's like, all right, I'm a little bit good at throwing stuff. I'm a little bit good at swordsmanship, and I'm a little bit good at throwing a fireball. Well, then you don't become 100% on top of your game at one thing in life. If you can be a master at something, then you've truly achieved, like, then you've truly achieved status in one area.
Yeah, I think like, for some people, definitely not everybody, but I think like your general wellness is tied to your ability to master something, or maybe not master something, but your ability to pursue something and to see that what you're pursuing is paying off, you know? And I think a lot of people, like, they kind of dabble in the idea of improving themselves. Like, I'm guilty of this 100%. I've started a lot of things and I don't completely follow through.
It's human.
Definitely. I think a lot of it is just attributed to like me trying to figure out what I like and don't like. Like, I'll start something, realize it's not really for me, or realize like, oh, I didn't take into consideration this facet. Like, I remember I started doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu and I loved it for the first 2 weeks. It was probably 2 years ago. Started doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu because I watch a lot of podcasters that do it. First 2 weeks were great. The guy I was going to was a really cheap, like, building. It was kind of run down. Like, it was like, it's like $50 a month and I can come here for unlimited classes for the most part. And I'm like, it's not a bad deal. The guy's cool. I'm learning how to defend myself. And then, like, dude, the third weekend I got a concussion, and then I was going to step off the mat, cause we were doing this certain drill, dude. And some guy like accidentally stepped on my knee and my kneecap popped out of its socket, and I had to like pop it back in, and I got back in my car. I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't for me. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like the concussion like was the biggest thing, and I'm like, all right, if I'm doing this for 3 weeks, obviously I'm a novice, but like I'm not interested in like trying to like put my head in harm's way, you know? And there's a lot of like there's a lot of times where like guys come in there and they think that you're a young guy and like you want to be tough and macho, and you're just trying to like, it's just like, I was just doing it to learn, to have something where I can physically learn and put my body through the motions. I wasn't trying to prove myself to anybody, but it was just like, at that point, I'm like, there's other things I can do. I like working out and running and biking a lot more. And maybe I'll get back to it if I find a better place to go. Because I did really enjoy it my first couple of weeks, but.
Right. It was one of those things where you wanted to learn something. You just wanted to learn something. You wanted another skill in there. And there's been a lot of times where it's like, I looked at someone, it's like, man, I'd really like to know how to do that. I'd like to know, like, and not necessarily Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but like knowing like actually how to like genuine martial arts, or like I've always wanted to learn how to dual sword, like be a dual swordsman. I like a play swords, like genuine like kendo stuff. I've always been interested in like how the intricacies of that are, and I've always been fascinated like just learning a little bit of that to have that in my toolkit, but I've never sat down and done that. But sitting down and doing it is the first step in any sort of learning process of that.
Definitely. I think I think just like sitting down, like I think a lot of times you'll find something in life and then like initially like you're drawn to it for some reason and then you start doing it and you kind of forget why you're even drawn to it in the first place. And then you're kind of like, oh, I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore. You know, like, you gotta like, I don't know. I think it's a lot of those things where it's like people like you confuse love with infatuation and then all of a sudden like you get involved with something. It goes for relationships and hobbies and whatnot. And then like you get infatuated for a while and you're like, oh, I like this because I admire somebody that was doing this, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to end up loving this. And you know, if I keep doing it for a long period of time, but dude, I gotta be honest with you. When I saw Ronan in the Avengers trailer wield that sword and he put it on his arm and he was getting the blood off of it. I'm like, okay, dude, I want to get a sword just like that. I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Going back to the point of that you were going over of just getting into something, like how many times have we like just naturally, how many times have we ordered something off of Amazon and be like, oh man, it's going to be so cool once this thing arrives. And no matter what it is, like, maybe it's like a new toy or a new book or something. It's like, all right, this book's going to arrive. And then and it's like, all right, I'm going to read this book. And then you just put it on your desk and then you never touch it.
Dude, you just described half my Amazon purchases right there. Yeah, I feel like half the stuff I buy is impulse and I'm done buying impulse stuff. Like I'm gonna let the stuff sit in my cart for a while and I'm gonna let myself think about it. And then like 3 months later, if it's still in my cart, I'm like, okay, maybe this is something I actually want to have and not something that I just saw and then it looked nice.
Yeah. I used to be really bad at those kind of impulse buys, but then I figured out a system where I was able to slap myself on the wrist on it. So I used to just buy video games all the time. To like day one, it would come out, I would have it in my lap. And it would come like exactly what happened. Like I would look forward to actually buying the game day one and then setting it on my stack of games and not touching it. That would bring me joy. That movement of my arm would bring me joy. And then I would actually like, I would keep up with this stuff so much that I would see the price drop of stuff before I actually got to touch it. It's like, oh man, it's like, I just had a muscle cramp in my wallet. What happened?
Charlie Horse.
I had a Charlie Horse in my bank account. What was that?
Yeah, exactly.
So I eventually came across this, shameless plug here. I won't say the name, but I came across this app that actually let me, it gave me a notification on my phone whenever a game would come out that I wanted. So it's like, oh, hey, I saw you wanted this game. Well, it's on sale now. So now you can go buy it. It's like, cool. That made the problem worse.
Yeah, it makes it way worse. Like not even close. Like
it made the problem way worse. So what I did was in order to quell the problem, I removed my credit card from the account so that in order to spend money on there, I would have to physically go to the store to get a gift card for myself. And at that way, it's like, all right, if I really want it, then that means I really want it bad enough to get up off my butt, drive 5 minutes to the store around the corner, get a gift card for myself, and then download it.
See, that is the play. I remember when I had my Xbox 360 and all my friends were getting Destiny. And I remember I pre-ordered the game and then I went to pick it up at GameStop. I came home and I figured out you actually needed like an external hard drive and not a memory card because I had like the Xbox Arcade and it only had like a 4 GB memory card, not the actual hard drive on the side. And then like I got home and I was trying to install it and then all my friends were playing it. And I was like, I have to go back to GameStop and get a hard drive now. I had to go spend like $80 to get a hard drive if I want to play this game. And I did. I went and got like a used hard drive from GameStop, which sucked. And then like 3 weeks later, we never played Destiny again. I thought we were going to play it for like months.
Yep.
I got it. And then for 2 weeks, it was the greatest game I've ever played. And then the third week, I'm like, this game is hot garbage.
This is Destiny 1, right?
Yeah, Destiny 1.
Yeah, I remember those 2 weeks. It was wonderful. It was not what it was promised, but it was still wonderful. And then after those 2 weeks when like the heat died down and then the DLC came. It's like, I don't care about this anymore. Goodbye, DLC. I'm breaking up with you.
I'm not against grinding in games, but like, it just kind of felt like I'm getting loot so I can grind harder later to get more loot.
Yeah. It sounds like being a parent.
Yeah, it's what it sounds like. It's kind of what it was. And after a while, it just kind of got like, this is like, I'm having fun doing it, but it's like, it's a little redundant. I wasn't engaged in the story either that much. Like the traveler or whatever.
What story?
Hardly a story.
Yeah. What made it fascinating was that, and I definitely haven't played everything, so I can't like account for all the things out there, but I can't remember a game where I could like just randomly walk up like, and then it's like, oh, hey, that's a person. And a lot of times you would just, when I was playing Destiny, I would like randomly like meet like high profile people when I was playing Destiny. I met two Twitch streamers and one person who used to be on a PlayStation reality show. I played Destiny with both these people. And like a lot of people had stories like these, like, oh yeah, I played Destiny with all these like people that you recognize names of.
Wow, that's actually really crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben. But yeah, man, like going back to, we're talking about Amazon for a second. I saw a video of like this giant Amazon blimp over the city, and it was like dropping drones to like deliver packages. And someone was like talking to me, he's like, this is the dystopian future that they always told me about like 10 years ago or whatever. And I was like, is that really dystopian? Is that like, is it good or is it bad? Like, it's hard to say. There's a lot of, it's like the yin yang, the good and the bad, and the bad and the good. It's got all of it.
Right. There's a lot of discussion to be had about like, so all this automation that's coming into place of like, you're talking about like the drones all coming down and delivering our packages. I was watching a recent episode of John Oliver. You probably saw it, of him talking about all the automation that's coming into play.
I watched it all with, yeah, I watched the entire thing. It was fascinating.
Yeah. A lot of people are doing new segments on that now because it's becoming such a important thing that's coming into play. It's like these jobs that we're losing are being replaced, but the new jobs that are coming in, people don't necessarily have education for these new jobs that are coming into place. And some of like, I think last statistic I heard is that right now the biggest company in the world, obviously Apple, the number that they employees that they have on their highest point is nowhere near close the number of people that like Dow had at their highest point. And so there's a big disconnect in there. So where are these new jobs coming from? Where do they find work? And it feels like you introduced me as an entrepreneur. I'm seeking to find and make money online, mainly through internet marketing and through sales funnels. But the thing I find is that like usually the hardest thing for people to do is to start asking the right questions. And so when like, let's say the truck driver asks like, oh, hey, where's my next job going to come from? How am I going to make money when I lose my job? It's not necessarily how am I going to make money. What you should be asking is, where am I going to make money? And then suddenly, when you ask a different question, different answers come to mind. Here's a perfect example. So these past, not consecutively, but for a few years now, I've gone to Comic-Con with my friends. And if you know anything about Comic-Con, you know it's a big expense to actually go, whether you go to a small one or a big one. And so I've gone to Comic-Con. It's an expense where I would save up money to go. First time I went to Comic-Con, I was cleaning bathrooms at our local state building. I would go there and I would clean, like 5 floors of bathrooms.
I forgot you had that job for a while. I totally misremembered that.
I would clean 5 floors of bathrooms in 4 hours, and then I would go home, and I had that job to save up to go to Comic-Con. And I wanted to go there because, like all nerds, like that's where my people are, so I must go there. And I've some people who shall remain nameless. A lot of people that fit in this category. It's not like just one person. It's like several people have fit in this category that I'm about to describe. A lot of people have seen me going to Comic-Con, and naturally they ask questions of me, and then they look it up, and then they see like the immense price tag that it takes to go to this thing. So it's like the hotels, there's a ticket to get in the front door, and then there's a price tag to actually get a signature from the celebrity. And then the first question that they ask when they see this is, why is it so expensive? That's the wrong question that you should be asking. Instead of asking, why is Comic-Con so expensive? Instead, you should be asking, how can I acquire the money to go to Comic-Con? And then suddenly all these different answers come to your mind of how you can acquire the money to go to Comic-Con. But it's not until you actually start asking that question that you start acquiring that answer. And sometimes that's the most difficult part, is finding that question to ask, because some people have a negative mindset programmed into them. Some people grow up in a negative environment. They have this depressive mindset to where they're always asking negative questions, so therefore they're always getting negative outcomes. But if you ask yourself, if you start asking, how can I afford the most expensive thing in the world? Then you actually start coming up with answers for that question.
I completely dig that, Ben. I feel like I'm definitely prone to having, I'm kind of prone to having those, like the negative presumptions about stuff. Like, I think about automation, I think of death. I think about like people getting like completely like pushed out of the industry that they're in. I think that there's going to be jobs that are going to be opening up. Like, I read a lot about this stuff because like I feel like this is going to impact our generation more than, you know, than anybody wants to think about it.
But absolutely.
You're definitely right that like whether we adopt, we change the social contract to, you know, help these people either transfer to new jobs or like just kind of like give them a comfortable landing when they're thrusted from their semi trucks and they're forced on the side of the road, like it's coming. Like I think when I'm 40 years old, I think you might never see a human being driving a truck ever again. Like it might be, you know, 10, 15 years away, but it's going to be coming.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have these semi trucks that are going to drive themselves. They're going to figure out how to dock themselves. And then you're going to have a lot of these, you know, I mean, brick and mortar stores might not be around, but like you're going to have like wherever distribution centers, you're going to have these robots. They're going to have the giant mechanical arms. They're going to be taking these boxes, picking them up, putting them out, and they're going to be like completely sorting themselves. Like the need for human labor is going to be redundant, you know? And at the same time, is that really a bad thing? Like if everybody benefits from technology and not just the people that actually own the technology, we could live in sort of a utopia. Obviously there's going to be problems still, but it's like, That's the dream, you know. Like the dream should be to minimize the amount of redundant, like the amount of labor that is not fulfilling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following this guy running for president in 2020. His name is Andrew Yang, and he wants to basically. He said if he gets elected, he will promise that anybody from the age of 18 to 65 in America will get $1,000 a month. Because.
Really?
Yes. And dude, he's gaining so much traction. Like there's so many people that I never thought that never follow politics that I know. And they're like, hey, have you heard about Andrew Yang? Cause he ran a bunch of businesses. He worked when a lot of the jobs in Michigan and Ohio got automated, he was trying to like bring jobs back and try to figure out how he could add jobs. But he's like, for every 7 jobs that I'm adding, 100 are going to be going away. He's like, this is like, it's like I have a bucket and I'm pouring more water in, but there's a hole in the bottom of the bucket. You know, he's like, no matter what I, he's like, I'm pouring a lot of water in, but the hole is bigger than the water I'm pouring in. So he's like, his thought with that money is like, it's going to be, if you're the age between 18 and 65, and no questions asked, you're just going to get a check every single month from the government. They're going to give you $1,000 a month. whether that goes towards your student loans, whether that goes towards your groceries, whether that goes towards car repairs, whether that goes towards people, if you're wealthy enough, you can donate that money right back and you can pick a charity for it and you can have that money donated somewhere else. But he's like, his thought process is if you try to build people up and bring them out of poverty, it'll, who can really, I mean, people can live on $1,000 a month, but who can really be like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to have $1,000 a month and that's gonna, all I'm going to be. I think that would almost sort of in a way motivate people to work more than that. That might be controversial, but it's like, I have $1,000 on top of whatever I make. So why don't I just go out there and try to make whatever I can, you know?
It's an interesting concept to think about. Cause we're in a state right now where so many, if you're in a state of actually being poor, like a parking ticket could mean the end of your life. If you're living from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, if you have one extra expense at a parking ticket that you just can't pay, like that could mean the end of your life. Like that could actually mean you being thrown in jail for something that we all do. we all get them.
Right. Exactly.
And so it's a polarizing, are there negativities to giving everyone? I definitely think that, if this massive group of people if they were all to get $1,000 a month like that, there would definitely be some people that would just live on that $1,000 a month, but also recognizing the fact that that is ultimately their choice and they deserve to make that choice. But if someone that has a desire to go beyond that, go to make more money and to not be trapped in this mound of debt that they've been cursed with, then this may be the first step in doing that, because we're cursed with these questions of like, oh, this entire generation has more debt than any other, like any more student debt than any other generation before. How do we solve it without having these ridiculous hyperbolic answers to it other than just like saying, oh, hey, sorry for you.
Right. And I think it'd be very beneficial because you're going to have a lot of these truckers that are going to be out of work. And a lot of these truckers are 50-year-old men. School never really interested in them that much. So they kind of went into like the job, like, hey, I can make a lot of money doing this. And it's actually like, it's hard on my body, but like, I mean, I can provide for a family, I can buy a house, whatnot. And then like when these guys are unceremoniously like told these robot trucks are going to be the new way to go whenever they get implemented, like, I don't see a lot of those people like being able to go back to school. And what would they really go for? Like, you're not going to make 3 million truckers into coders, because like the amount of coders you need is going to actually decrease too over time, because like as software gets more efficient, we're not going to need as many coders or accountants. Like a lot of the stuff can be, a lot of the redundant menial stuff can be automated. I just think like the idea that like, we'll just turn them all into coders, we'll just send them all to ITT tech and they're going to learn it. I don't know if that's the solution, but, and then I think it's going to be good for the prison system. Like when a lot of people, when they go to prison, they come out, they have nothing to do. At least you have $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. At least you're going to have your basic needs met, and that might be enough for you to get back on your feet, you know? And maybe it won't, maybe that'll cost taxpayers less money, because they're not going to be funding people going to jail because they're doing crime out of desperation, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think there's a lot of problems with it. I think there's a lot of stuff that, like, I'm talking about the good things, but like there's a lot of people that have like negative associations with it too.
Right. You mentioned ITT Tech, which is like that just gives me a migraine all on its own, because
yeah, for sure.
Because that's a for-profit school, so it's like, oh man.
Right. Exactly.
It's interesting. So with my business right now, one of the things I do is I gave the analogy of Skyrim of mastering just one thing. I'm gonna ping pong back to that real quick as we talk about these truckers that are gonna be out of work. So one of the things I do is I hire VAs, which are virtual assistants. So I got right now I'm going to need, I've got like a tiny diagram up on my whiteboard over there. I need a project manager, I need a project developer, I need guy who builds the online sales funnels. I need a designer for copywriter. I need this, that. Oh, and I need that person. So do you think I know how to do all that?
Definitely not close to all of it, no.
And let's also throw out the hypothetical. Let's say I was a 100% master of all of those things. Do you think I want to spend the time on doing all those things? No, I do not. So what I usually do is I'm pretty good at Photoshop. And I'm pretty good at video editing. So what I do is in order to Photoshop, I'll usually do my own Photoshopping. I'll do my own banners and whatnot. But if I want to save time, what I'll do is like, I need this e-cover for this project or whatever. So there's a website called Fiverr.com. You can go there and there's all these people who will do like tiny tasks for you. They'll like take one thing off your shoulder and it's like, hey, you need something Photoshop. This guy will Photoshop something for you. And it's done. And you don't have to worry about that anymore. It's like, hey, you need a picture Photoshopped for your new book. This guy will design it for you. And it's all about finding your individual superpower. What are you good at? There's people out there called ghostwriters. And what they basically do is that they will write for you. So you can get a really good ghostwriter and say, hey, I need an outline. I need a book written. Here's an outline for it. This is what chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are going to be like. Here's the outline. Go write the book. The ghostwriter will write the book for you. They will you will pay them, and they will write the book for you. And you can have it so that you, like, legally speaking, you can have your name as the author on the book and publish it on Amazon. If you don't know how to do that, get someone else to publish it for you and then have someone else design the cover for you. And then your book is published now and then all of it is taken care of for you. If you are a trucker looking for a job, find your one superpower in this bracket of things that people need done. And then do that for people.
That is astounding. You can have somebody else write the book for you and then publish it with your name on it.
Yes. In the future, I will have 100 books and none of them will be written by me, but they will all have my name on it.
But I didn't know you're an expert in Pilates.
Yes. I'm an expert in Pilates.
you have like a hardcover, like super thick, just talking about like yes. How to do Pilates.
I'm posing on my expert in Pilates book.
Oh my God. I would laugh so hard, dude. I laugh so incredibly hard. But no, I think it's just one of those things where like I've read statistics that like if you were to be born in a time in America or a time in human civilization, you'd want to be born right now in America because we have it as good as we can be. But then you see like there's a lot of people that are very, very unhappy, like very unhappy. And it's like one of those things where it's like it's just a weird correlation kind of thing where it's like, is it just because like we have it so good now and like our biological like the things that led us to become so successful as creatures, like, is that almost like being removed from everyday life? And like, are we just more or less just kind of like drones in this economic machine? And we look for like the worst aspects of it just to like make it seem like we're like figuring out, like, I don't know. Do we look for the worst parts of society just to make it better? Or is it just one of those things where like, we're not happy. Like this society is not manifesting, our biological urges in the same way that, you know, that it did when we were, you know.
Here's a couple of interesting statistics for you. A couple decades ago, back when like TV was first getting started, the average amount of advertisements that you might see in a day was 500.
500.
Now it's 5,000 in a single day. In the world right now, we are one of the wealthiest countries, but that does not mean we are one of the happiest countries.
Right.
We have so much, but that doesn't mean that we appreciate the things that we have. And so we have that, like, if I wanted to learn something, like, let's say I wanted to learn how to act. I wanted to learn how to be an actor. And I like, we're not just playing off of that tangent that we had before. Like, let's say I genuinely had the fire to be an actor, and I didn't want to go the college course. Like, I didn't want to go off somewhere to college and, like, spend a lot of money and accumulate college debt. None of that. Like, I actually wanted to learn how to be an actor. There are courses online that you can go and learn from actors. Like, there's online courses that you can go and learn for a realistic amount of money. There's courses that you can go take on that. There's hundreds and hundreds upon thousands of YouTube videos on that exact topic where you can go and learn how to act from people, you could probably find YouTube videos from people with, like, credibility on the said topic. Like, hey, I was a stage actor for so long, and here's what I learned on acting. Here's the difference between stage acting and movie acting.
Right.
And like, if that's just one example, here's this whole information ethos. And yeah, we feel, and yet it's like, you would think that we would, like, always be happy, but it doesn't. We feel numb. It overwhelms our senses. We feel numb to it sometimes. And yet a lot of times we're seeking directions. One of the, I'll give you a little piece of inside information. So I said before I was building online sales funnels. One of the things we do sometimes is we will sell playlists. And so, like, we're selling, like, hey, I'm selling you ChapStick or whatever. Let's say we're selling you some music. We're trying to sell someone's music. We're selling, like, beatboxing music. It's like, all right, what have we got to go along with this? Hey, I know what we'll do. Whoever buys this beatboxing music, we'll also send you a playlist of the 5 greatest YouTube tutorials on how to make your own beatboxing music. This information's already out there. Anyone can find it. It's free, but that doesn't matter. I'm the one with the link.
It's more about, like, it's just because information's out there doesn't mean people know how to access it, you know?
Right. Maybe not necessarily know how to access it, but people don't always have the drive to go out there and seek it out, or even necessarily have the inkling to go access it, or know that they have the interest in going to access this information.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like, I just think convenience is always worth a lot of money. You know, it's worth a lot of value. You know, making things more convenient for people, figuring out, like, hey, I can make this instead of searching all over the internet for the best video. If I know the best video, I mean, that's definitely not, you know, it's worth something.
Right. Absolutely.
I struggle with it because, like, I just see in society, people are just genuinely unhappy, and we're supposed to live in, like, the best country in the world. I think America is the best country in the world. I think we have a lot of problems, though, and I think technology is going to be our saving grace. I think politically, I don't want to talk about too much about politics, but, like, I think politically it's going to be more divisive until we get to a point when technology is so efficient and so good that it makes everyone's lives more enriched. But I think for a while, I think when it's first implemented, it's only going to be used by a lot of really wealthy companies, and then over time, I think it's going to take a lot of activism and people going out there and, like, demanding, hey, like, all these things that, like, you, that these robots are doing are stuff that we used to do to actually make a living. And now we can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously, like, that means we have more freedom to, like, be creative. And I think a lot of people that are artists and that kind of stuff, they're going to prosper, I think, because they're going to have something that robots cannot give you. Like, people that are doing stuff that's really creative on the internet that really requires a lot of, like, analytical thinking and compassion and that kind of stuff, like, that's going to be priceless, because, I mean, but a lot of the menial repetitive stuff, it's just going to be, like, I think we should automate that, but we just need to make sure that it's automated in a way where everyone benefits.
Right. Definitely. Like, there's people still have, like, relationship services, like matchmaking services, like not like Tinder or anything like that, like actual relationship services And those are things that cannot be automated or anything like that. And so more human services are probably going to come into play where we are actually knowing our fellow man, but we have to get over this hump first of letting automated stuff go and learning new jobs and learning this new area. I want to propose a question to you. You're smiling.
I like questions, Ben.
You've touched a few times on like that. People today are more sad than they have been in the past. Why do you think that people are sad and depressed in today's modern time because of advancements? Why do you think they have that sort of connection?
Okay, I'm gonna say this. Like, I remember last summer I was camping up north with five of my greatest friends, and literally, dude, from the time I got up there to the time I left, I was the happiest person in the world. Like, I don't think there was any person in the world that was happier than me. And like, I can't say that for really any other time in my life. Mm. I mean, like, I'm usually a very happy person. Like, I always try to look at the better part of things, but there's always that part of myself that like is like unconsciously pessimistic. I think everyone's got that part of themselves. I try to suppress that part of myself. I try to make sure I know when it's happening, but sometimes it comes out, you know? And I just think in this society, I think people are more separated than ever. And I think, I don't think anyone truly feels like they have like, I mean, people have families, but like, it's just one of those things where like, we're not relying on each other like we used to in the past. Like you don't have that like really, like that really intense relationship with everybody else. Like if you're living in a tribe of 70 people and you know everybody in that tribe and you know they love you and you know that they value you and you know that your work is valued and like you're seeing the same people every single day. Like that's why like in high school, I think a lot of people aren't that like depressed because you're going to school every day. I mean, people are definitely depressed in high school. Don't get me wrong.
I was going to stop you there, but keep going.
Like I know a lot of people that I knew in high school were depressed. But like for me personally, like a lot of those, I didn't really have that side of me until I left high school. Like I had the greatest group of friends. We always saw each other. We always hung out outside of school. We always had the same interests. And like, it made it very bearable for me. Like it made it so like, oh, this is a good place to be. And then when you leave that place and like all your friends kind of become fractious and they break off from each other and they're going in different directions and you don't see those people anymore. You don't realize how big of a toll that has on you. You know, it has a big toll on you. And I think there's so many temporary people that bounce in and out of your life nowadays. And it's just like, you can never, you're trying to grab at the, like unconsciously or consciously, you want to have this group of people around you because it makes you feel safe and loved and secure. Mm-hmm. And you don't have that. It's almost like you have like a, they're just like, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so if you don't have that one layer of needs being met, it doesn't matter if the top six layers are great, you know?
I see what you mean. I see people doing that and try to coach them out of like, look, don't try to fall in the trap of like, don't have this person in your life just because you're afraid of being alone, whether it's like a friend or another relationship. Know your worth as an individual. I remember to go back on what you were saying before about like camping and whatnot. A few years ago, I got the VR headset. I got the PlayStation VR. And for those of you that have not tried a VR headset, what I noticed when I first put it on and when I first started playing it was that I could do nothing but play this headset. And when you put it on, you're like, I can't answer text messages. I can't look at my laptop or anything like this. I can do nothing but do this one task, which is weird because, no, like almost 24/7 nowadays, it's like my brain is in one place doing whatever task I'm doing. And then the other part of my brain is like, what notifications do I have on my phone? What's going on my phone? But that part of my brain got shut off for just 30 minutes. And it was almost like I got unplugged. It was almost like really getting unplugged from the matrix. It's like, is this what breathing feels like again?
Is this how it feels to sit down and eat a meal and not worry about who's blowing your phone up?
So yeah, it's like, is this how it feels to like actually like sit down and take a breath and not worry about work? Because it feels good. It feels really good to take 10 minutes and like not have, like turn, like actually turn your phone off and just watch Avengers.
Yeah, it feels so good. Mm-hmm. It feels good to engross yourself in something that's not your life and like to really just like, it's almost like before I go to see Endgame, I took the entire day off, dude. I'm gonna meditate the entire day. I'm just gonna really get in that space for like I was when I was like in 2012 when I saw the first Avengers. I was like in high school and I was really happy go lucky. I want to make sure that I am in the best possible mindset before I go see this movie, so I can just enjoy it. I'm like, this is gonna be the best thing. Like I think it's important to meditate. Maybe that's what we're missing. We're just missing that like the time where you take an hour to yourself and you don't do anything but just kind of like sit with yourself or just do something you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And just like really disconnect from everything, because you don't always need to be plugged into everything. You know, you need time to unplug. Like, this is my time. No one else is going to interrupt me. Nothing else is going to go on. This is just my time to think about my life.
Do you listen to ASMR on YouTube?
So some of my friends in high school actually told me about ASMR, and it doesn't really work for me that much. Like, I'll get like the occasional, like, it does make me a little bit more relaxed, and like, I'll get like the occasional like tingle in my spine, but like, I'm more like, I like to listen to philosophers talk, and like, I like to listen to like music and like birds chirping and water flow. Like, I guess that all of it, that it kind of is ASMR too, but.
Yeah, that kind of falls under the like same umbrella when I wouldn't say, I would never ask you like, do you like to listen to relaxing waterfalls on YouTube? I would just ask you. Do you like to listen to ASMR?
Yes.
The answer would be yes to both.
Yes, that's 100% the answer.
That's a lot of, like, I use that to, like, take 10 minutes to relax. I'm not sure if I told you this before or not, but I suffer from migraines. And so if I need, like, 10 minutes or something to, like, just sit down and come back to earth and get my mind centered, I'll do that on YouTube for, like, 10 minutes and silence all my notifications.
Yeah, I grew up when I was a kid. I had like two or three migraines per week, and it would last a long time. And I'd always have to put a wet washcloth on my head and lay down, take a lot of like painkilling, like a lot of like ibuprofen and stuff. And like it used to get bad. Like, I used to have like trouble seeing, and then I just kind of grew out of it. Like, I might have like one every few months now, but
yeah, I'm definitely not that bad. I want to cycle back to Avengers Endgame. In that conversation that we were having for a little bit. It's weird. With the entire Marvel universe, it's weird to look back on something like this because do you watch Doctor Who?
No, not really, but I know enough about it.
Okay, so you know enough about it.
I know enough about it.
Okay, so I can make an analogy. In Doctor Who, there's an analogy where he regenerates. He becomes a different person all throughout the series, and like a different person plays the Doctor all throughout the entire series.
Okay. Yep. And, yep. Yep.
Yeah, and it's weird looking back on like the entire Marvel universe, because these different movies are like, the timeline is not the same as like when the movies were released. It's completely different than that, and so I'm looking back on all these different movies when they're released, and the type of person I was when those movies were out and when I was watching them, and it's like this is a universe where I'm growing up with it, and I think we all are at the same time. It's like I'm evolving with these characters,
dude. I think when Kevin Feige and a few producers and directors sat down every day in the same room for 3 years, and they talked about where they want the Marvel Cinematic Universe to go. And I think that was definitely one of their biggest things. They're like, we want to take this generation and we want to take them on a ride. We'll start with Iron Man, Captain America, Thor. We'll do Avengers. And like, it's almost like every time you see an Avengers movie, you see the characters grow and you think about where you were, like you just said, at that time. And then like a lot of like my parents and like people that are that age, they don't really understand the Marvel Universe that much. And I don't blame them, because I don't think I'd understand if I was their age either. But like, it's just such an incremental part of like my youth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The amount of times I was in school and like I was in like the computer room trying to write a paper, but instead I was watching Iron Man 3, the trailer for it. Like, instead, like, you know, I was just doing things like that, because like I was like, this is so much cooler. Like, this is the coolest movie of all time. And it's just cool, man. It's cool to see Iron Man in his first suit in the rubble, And then all of a sudden you see him in the Mark 85 in this trailer. And it's just like, man, he came such a long ways.
I remember when like Avengers 2 came, no, not Avengers 2. Like, yeah, this was Avengers 1 when we were like high school time. I went to go see it at midnight with some buddies. And I was like, all right, this is cool. I'm going to go sit down. And and everyone's like suited up and they're in costume. And I'm going to go see my buddies. And I went and sat down with some people. And then my friends I actually went to go see with ditched me. And I was, yes, I'm not even kidding. Like I went and saw Avengers 1 midnight premiere alone. And like, I'm not even, those same people I don't even hang out with anymore, like for good reason.
Ben, that's so sad, man.
I didn't go see Avengers 2, at midnight at all. Let me be perfectly honest with you. Avengers 2 was not that great. I'm sorry. It was just more Avengers. But I went to go see Avengers, the last one, Infinity War, at midnight. It's like, I'm going to carve out my own time, and I'm going to go see Avengers Infinity War because I want to go see Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I texted you, and I was thinking, like, I'm going to go see Avengers, and you know what? I'm going to go buy a second ticket because, you know what? I don't know why. Someone will want to go see it with me. It's like, by the time it comes around, someone will fill that seat.
Dude, for sure. This is going to be like this is the movie of our lifetime, man. This is going to be, it's going to be 3 hours long, I heard, too.
Yeah.
And that's just mind-blowing to me.
There's been a whole bunch of memes floating around the internet. It's like, oh, Avengers fans, your movie is 3 hours long. Oh, you haven't even heard of the Lord of the Rings, have you?
Definitely. Yeah, Lord of the Rings is ridiculously long. But I almost hope, like, the first, like, if my prediction for the movie comes true, I hope the first part is them all getting back together. The second part is them going in the quantum realm, getting all the stones from past movies, and the third part's the final fight against Thanos. Like, it's like broken up into three separate parts, and then. Ooh. That's what I'm thinking it's going to be. Hopefully. That's my hope.
I have no expectations. I'm just going to be pleasantly surprised by whatever happens. We obviously know that everyone comes back to life.
Yeah.
Because there's more people cast for this movie than there are living bodies in the Marvel Universe right now.
Yes. So like, that's... You can't tell me Black Panther's dead for good.
Oh, I can and I will.
Spider-Man's not gone for good. Star-Lord's gonna come back.
Did you see? There was I don't mean to like turn this into a meme conversation, but there's so many good ones. There was a SpongeBob one that was going around about Avengers: Infinity War, and it was of the episode where Squidward gave a pie to SpongeBob, and then he blew up, and it Mr. Krabs was looking at Squidward, and Squidward was the Marvel Universe, and Mr. Krabs was Sony Pictures, and Sony Pictures just looks at Squidward and says, "You had to kill him."
I did see that one, Ben. You had to kill him.
I finally let you make an Avenger, and you had to kill him.
Ben, I'm trying to find this one meme. Yeah, I don't even know if I want to show this one because it's really weird, but it's like, it's got Buzz and Woody. Ant-Man is on Woody's head, and then Tony or Iron Man's on Buzz's head, and then it goes. Ant-Man's like, "Tony, we missed the gauntlet," and then Iron Man goes, "We're not aiming for the gauntlet." And then it shows Thanos in the position of like a silverback gorilla with his butt hanging in the air. And it's like they're flying Ant-Man right into. I laughed so hard, dude. I laughed so incredibly hard. Send me that
later if you find it.
I'll send it to you for sure. I laughed so hard. I was like, this is so ridiculous.
I forget if this was like a Robot Chicken thing or if it was like a YouTube compilation of like how Avengers Infinity War should have ended. But it was like the moment where like everyone was fighting to get the gauntlet off of Thanos. And then Doctor Strange comes in and then just comes in with a portal and just cuts the gauntlet off of his arms. Like, There we go. Problem solved. Universe is saved.
It could have been such an easy fix. Like, Doctor Strange definitely had the ability to get that gauntlet off. You can't mm-hmm. tell me he didn't. But they would have had it off if Star-Lord wouldn't have messed it up and let his emotions get the better of him.
I mean, we need to address something. Thor also screwed up.
Thor screwed up royally.
Thor could have killed him, but he didn't.
It's cool because, like, Infinity War was the Avengers all broken up. It was the worst timing. Ragnarok just happened. Asgard was blown up. Civil War happened. Tony and Steve were split. Mm-hmm. All this stuff happened. Hulk wouldn't come out. So, like, we're not seeing the Avengers at their full strength, you know? And right. then it's like, and then at the same time, like, all after all these heroes are dealing with what happened in the past 18 movies, they're not thinking straight. Like, Thor, he's not looking to save the universe. He wanted revenge on Thanos, in a way, for killing all the Asgardians.
Yep.
And then Star-Lord's like, I don't care. You just threw my girlfriend over off the cliff. Like, I'm just looking to punch you in the face. And I think it's going to show in this movie, like, it's going to be everyone coming back together, and they have the central goal, and they're going to have a plan in motion, and not just like, oh, we're just going to wing this, like Wakanda, you know? Like, mm-hmm. oh, we'll just fly here and hope for the best, and this is going to be completely different, like.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, my God. I don't think my body can take many more people disappearing.
Dude, if he snaps again and he, like, the half of the half that's left disappears, I'm just going to be like, all right. I'll watch it when it comes to DVD. I can't handle this right now.
I can't handle this. Oh.
But yeah, Ben. I think we're like, what, like an hour in right now, man?
I don't know. I was kind of gonna ask you how what's our time at?
I think we started like around 9:30. So if you're cool with ending it, man, I'm cool with ending it right now.
It's your show.
I know, Ben. So I think I'm cool with ending it if you're okay with that.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right, sounds good, Ben. Ben, it was a pleasure having you on, man. I appreciate talking to you, man. I always love talking to you. You always got amazing insight, dude. And for all of you guys, my friend Ben here, he has his own podcast called The Code of Life Podcast, and he's an entrepreneur. You can go to his Facebook page. His name is Ben Ebig. I'll probably put a link in my YouTube video and stuff, so you can go find him and. You can check them out and stuff. So, Ben, I think we're going to call it, man.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Ben, it's been a really good time, man. Been a really good time.